Young people, as we continue to worship God together, it is the part of our service and our Christmas Eve time when we just take a quick pause because we want to hear from you. Because you're really smart. We talk about it all the time. And you possess great wisdom. So I'm going to ask a lot of you, even some of you who I haven't asked for a really long time because you are too old for these sort of things. Unless you're Emerson, you're off the hook tonight. So, because she's just so bloody cute back there. So she's good to go. Doesn't have to say anything. She's been praising Jesus all night anyway. So we're good. So we want to hear from the young people tonight. If you don't volunteer, I'll volunteer. You know how this works. We've done it for years together, right? Susie's getting nervous. You can see it on her face. But it's okay, because it's going to be fine. It's Christmas Eve. So I want to know how you, in one word, sum up the miracle tonight. One word. You can't use compound words, and you can't use hyphenated words. That's my trick. You don't get to use it. Sum it up for us in one word. And you know there's a follow-up, so be careful what word you pick. It's like it's written on their feet, isn't it? Ray, please help us. Because I was going to call on all of you if you don't answer. So Ray's going to help us.
Joyful.
We'll let that one slide without a rebuttal, right, Susie? We're gonna let Ray off because he volunteered, so he's good. Emma, what do you think, honey? I see you sort of doing this sort of thing. What do you think?
Remarkable.
Remarkable. I gotta ask why. Sorry, it's a great word. Why did you say remarkable?
Kind of
strange that one tiny baby can save everyone. Someone's been looking at my notes. Jacob, help us, my friend.
Miracle.
To which do you refer? There are a lot in the story.
His birth.
Just the birth, generally. Okay? Susie, I always call on you first. I'm going to let you go sort of towards the end because I know you've got a good one for us. What do you think, my friend?
I was literally going to say miracle.
You were going to say miracle? So why would you say miracle, my friend? Stable, in the stable in the manger, yeah. He was born in the manger, yeah.
Mary was just about 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah, Mary wasn't much older than you.
Yeah.
No.
And it's a miracle that she was that young
to
have a child.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Others. I will call on you, John Mark Murata. No, I won't. There is a lot of words to describe tonight, and I just wanted to hear from you, and we wanted to hear from you. This has been a tough year for all of us in a lot of ways. It's a tough season. There's a lot of expectation to it, but finding an opportunity to pause and notice the remarkable, miraculous, joyful nature of what is happening is the purpose of us being together. And so tonight as we worship, and tomorrow as you go about your business with your friends and your family, or do whatever it is you do on Christmas morning, whether it's at 5 a.m. when Santa's here, or in other cases, maybe a little later because Santa gets here later in the morning. It doesn't matter. Be together. Be remarkable. Be joyful and celebrate the miracle. Let's pray together as we hear the story. Loving God, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for watching over us, bringing us safely to your house for worship. As we stop and consider your story, we ask you to speak to our hearts and to our minds. And not only that, be present with us. Give us the opportunity to notice the miracle, to notice how joyful and remarkable it is. And we'll give you the praise and glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text for this evening is found in your pew Bible on page 889. On 889, it is the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And of course, you know the story, but I invite you, as I do every time I stand in the pulpit, to listen and hear God's word fresh, even though this is the most familiar story that we have. Again, from Luke 2, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for bringing us together this evening. Thank you for bringing us to your house of worship, not just at Plains, but virtually together in different churches around your creation. As we consider your story, Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts and to our minds again in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what your familial traditions and your rhythms of life that you go through around this time of the year are, but as I thought about the Murata family traditions and what we did or what we do currently, one thing that kept springing up in my mind is what I wanted to talk to you about. The more I thought, the more memories came bubbling together. And that is that we would gather together and play board games while eating copious amounts, and we'll do that tonight, of cookies and cured meat and cheeses, and eat too much and go to sleep with a sour stomach. It will happen soon. Maybe it's because the pandemic has limited how we can be together or how we can entertain ourselves. Maybe just the traditions we live with. Maybe I thought about games like this because I had just watched the Matsiko Christmas program. And that reminded me of the children and their love of Uno, right? How they love to play that card game. They could play it for hours, and we've watched them do it, haven't we? They may tweak the rules just a little bit here or there, but they tweak them so everybody wins. It's wonderful to watch. Watching them play it is a joy and creates great happiness in us. When we took our family deck of Uno cards with us to Nepal, we left that deck with Dipender and the children last year. They were so excited to have it. I placed the cards before I traveled like a good Boy Scout in a waterproof sealed container. That's just how I roll when I pack to go to Alam. And as I handed it over to them, to Ritika and the children, they grabbed it and looked at it and ran off. And I'm sure they were showing it and playing games probably. Hopefully they still have it and haven't lost them all yet, but who knows, right? Playing games. I recently went with John Mark shopping to buy a certain young lady a board game for her birthday, as she loves to do that. And while he and I stood there and we looked at what we wanted, memories came flooding back. Traditions, things we do, rhythms of our life that I grew up with. For example, I remember the impossibly hard Trivial Pursuit that my father purchased when we were children. Why he would saddle small children with Trivial Pursuit, I don't understand. When I get to heaven, I'll let you know. I remember my parents adjusting the rules a bit so that there'd be multiple choice answers, because it's impossible to play that game. They even bought special cards, Disney cards, to make it even easier for us. That didn't help. We're just not that good at that game. But it was my sister's game, as John Mark and I stood in the aisle at Target, as we looked for it, as I thought about what we do on times like this when we're together, my sister's game of Taboo. that made me smile the most? Taboo. In this game, if you're not familiar with it, the players are attempting to guess a word by describing with other words, but you can't use certain words. They are off limits. If you use one of those words, as my sister Melanie was wont to do at times, the game provides you a buzzer. And while you could just push the buzzer, you know, on the table, what fun is that? It's much better to stick it in her face and slam your hand down on it, defiantly buzzing her because she's wrong. And of course, what board game would not be complete without, and I even have a prop for tonight, its own timer. That's Emma's, by the way. It's not the game's timer. That's Emma's timer. The hourglass. That timer from Melanie's game, and this image stuck with me on Christmas Eve as I started thinking about what is going on in that remarkable, miraculous, joyful moment of Jesus in the stable. What's going on in that moment? What that symbolized to me? I want to use that little image tonight to consider the essential nature of it, the events of tonight, as we think about a story we know so well. As we think together about it, using my big image here, let's begin by looking at things from the larger, the macro perspective, if you will, that I'm putting forth. I want you to ponder with me the significance of what you're seeing here in the glass. Imagine for a moment, if it's not too overwhelming, the entire world, all of the activities of creation, all the hustle and bustle of life, all the wonder of creation, all the micro level protons, electrons that are probably flying around us right now, right? And all the macro stars and galaxies, like the Bethlehem star we tried to see last week, but it was too cloudy. All of that, what we can see and what lies just beyond it, from the beginning of time till the end, if you can get your mind all the way wrapped around the immenseness of it. It's there in that little hourglass, maybe shrunk down to fit, but it's in there right now. Each of those moments, each of those things, those images, is represented by one tiny grain of sand that sits in the bottom. I think there's still sand in it, of Emma's hourglass at the bottom. I want you to think of the sand at the bottom of the hourglass and consider that to be all of it, every single part of it, the earth. Now turn your attention to the top of the glass. The part that, because of the gravity, when I said it that way, that's sitting empty. So empty that if I was to pull it apart, we could look straight down and see nothing until we get all the way to the bottom. It's completely empty. As full as the bottom is, the top is equally as empty. Consider the top heaven, the bottom the earth. So we have heaven and we have earth right there. Now focus in even more at the place where they come together, that tiny little aperture or pinch point. It looks so small, so insignificant, so unnecessary, so overlooked, that little tiny space in the middle. How on earth does all that sand fit through that such a little tiny space and move so freely from one end to the other without breaking it apart or getting stuck or causing some other timing error in its own hourglass? Notice the language that I use carefully. How on earth did everything get from one part to the other? The heaven part to the earth part. And here's your answer on Christmas Eve as we remember the story of the Incarnation. At one moment in our history, one person emerged who was totally part of the bottom half. He was man, totally part of the top half. He was divine. He was unique among all of creation. Never had there been someone who fit so seamlessly into the top and into the bottom, being in both places, it seemed at once, belonging to heaven and residing on earth. Sometimes it seemed too great, but he found a way to bridge the gap for you and I. He was completely part of the top half. He is God, God's only begotten Son, one part of the triune person, the divine nature, in perpetual communion with the other persons of the Trinity. And yet, as we hear and we know, he was born into human flesh, the earth. He was hungry at times. He was thirsty. We know he was tired. His feet hurt from walking. We know he needed to sleep, to retreat from public activity. I imagine his feelings got hurt from time to time. And the Gospel of John reminds us that at one point he was so overwhelmed that he wept in sadness for someone that he loved who he lost. That tiny space in the middle, that pinch point, represents what we know that Jesus is in the church. Jesus is that tiny moment in history that connects time to eternity, reality to heaven, now being connected forevermore because of tonight's miracle. He is completely part of time and reality now. But at the same time, he is completely eternal, heaven forevermore, in perpetual praise of his Father in heaven. And more than anything else, he is the route for us back to our Father in heaven. See, this is the Christmas story for us tonight. The full range of humanity, from underclass shepherds struggling and facing the unforgiving reality of the work they're called to with their heads in the stars. The full dimension of existence is here. It's present in this moment. From the lowly earth and its manger to the skies above Bethlehem, where angels sing and rejoice. It's here. In that moment, the full range of human experience, from terror and humiliation of an unexpected pregnancy, to the horror of Herod's massacre of the children, to the joy and the gladness that the gold and frankincense and myrrh represent, being handed to the newborn king by the Magi. It's all here in that one moment, in that one person. The story sums up in language of time and space of everything into this one real moment for us. Fragility, wonder, depth, ordinariness, majesty, remarkableness, joy. It's all right there in this moment tonight. That is the wonder of Christmas. It is the mystery of the gospel and the joy of who Jesus is. And what we're doing tonight, right now, as we gather this holy night to sing, to partake of the elements together, to pass the light around the sanctuary, to worship, we are participating in that one moment, in that celebratory act. It's like we've blocked everything else out in this moment. Nothing else matters except being right here, right now, in this very moment, with that very Son of God. Heaven and earth coming together for us. Well, let me tell you one last thing for Christmas. It's the Christmas secret, if you will. Nothing else around us will matter because he is here again. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we are glad to be here together as your body. We are glad to be here to worship you in spirit and in truth, in joy, in the miracle, bringing in the baggage and the struggles that we've dealt with this year, in this time, in this pandemic, with that pain. All of it comes together, Lord, now, in the birth of our Messiah. And so as we continue to worship you, be with us, watch over us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Our second hymn together is found in your red hymnal on page 166. It is God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and we will sing verses 1 and 2 only. Will you stand as you're able?
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ the Savior, born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power. When we were gone astray, O Lord, tidings of love, and
may be seated. And as we prepare for communion, I remind you, I will call you forward when the time is appropriate in the liturgy. I also draw your attention to the bulletin, as when we come to that part where we say the Lord's Prayer, we will be using the version that we learned in Nepal when we were with them. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the kingdom of God. They will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites any and all who see a meaning and purpose in these elements. They have been prepared for you out of God's great love for you. And so I invite you, as Tim and Denny will direct you forward from the back to the front, coming down the middle and going out the sides, to please come and gather the elements for communion.
Praise the Holy God, creator and ruler of the universe. You created light from darkness. You brought forth life from the earth. You formed us in your image. You called us to love and to serve you. When we were unfaithful and turned from your ways, you did not forsake us. You loved us and you remained steadfast in our lives. You delivered us from captivity, made a covenant to be our sovereign God. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. In him, your word, dwelling with you from all eternity, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We beheld your glory, Emmanuel,
Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the celestial choirs and with the faithful of every time and place who sing to the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord, God, power, and light. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born tonight in humility, he came to rule over all. Helpless as an infant, he showed the power of your love. Poor in the things of this world, he brought the wealth of your grace for us. Rejected by many, he welcomed all who sought him. Remembering tonight your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from this creation this bread and this cup and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be living, holy sacrifices dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Will you pray with me tonight? Gracious God, we ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us and upon each your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this is Christ's body for us, send us out to be Christ's body in the world. Through Christ we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest and betrayal, took the bread, and after giving thanks to his Father, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me," the body of Christ. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." For every time you eat this bread, and every time you drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the child of God, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation.
Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be here tonight, to worship you, to be in awe of you, to be blessed by you, and for you to be born for us. As we have enjoyed your presence this year, guiding and watching over us, Lord God, continue to guide us and watch over us into the new year. Give us the courage and the strength to be the body, your people, that as we do the work you have called us to do, as we are salt and light in our community, help us to spread your love to the world. And as we worship you tonight, Lord God, continue to be with us as we head our separate ways, go before us, illuminate our path. And hear us now in the confidence of the children of God as we pray the prayer that is written for us in our bulletin tonight. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to test, but deliver us from evil. Amen.